So let's get started here. So we're going to start from the very top of Nun Amud Aleph. So this, it's kind of the middle of a sugya, but hopefully as we go on, we'll see what the Gemara was talking about. So the Gemara says, Esvei Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha L'Rabbi Ami, V'Hotzias Kol Apar. We see from the Pasuk in Parshas Acharimos that says that the Kohen Gadol would take out the entire par, even after Shechita. The Pasuk still refers to it as a par, even though it's already been Shechted. It's just a whole topic back on yesterday's daf, whether you can still refer to an animal as a par, even post-Shechita. This Pasuk would seem to indicate that you can. So the Gemara says, no, Sheyotzias Kulo. That Pasuk could simply be interpreted to mean that the Kohen Gadol takes out the entire carcass of the animal. It doesn't necessarily mean that the word par always has to mean a live animal. It could just mean the entire entity of the animal. Then the Gemara says, Ve'ez parachatas, ve'ez seirachatas. We have another pasuk that describes the par and the seir that the Kohen Gadol shecht. And again, it's already post-shchita, and the Torah still refers to it as a par. So the Gemara says, you're right, Amar of Papa, bo'oru basaru peresh tuchuli amalu plige, ki plige bedam. Mar sover dam ikre par, umar sover dam lo ikre par. The Gemara explains that when the dead animal is fully intact, with the skin and the hides and the excrement and everything is together, then that for sure is considered a par. The machlokas is, what about the dam? If all I have left of the animal is the blood, is that enough to qualify or enough to call it a par? So that's the machlokas and the Gemara. So the Gemara explains, Amar Ravashi, Mistabra Kamanda Amar Dam Mikre Par, Dichsiv Bezos Yavoa Harona La Kodesh Befar Ben Bakar. Atu b'kayne ma'ayole, ela b'domo v'karile par. The Gemara says, I'm going to prove to you that blood, that just having the blood of the animal is good enough to call it a par. Because it says in Parshas Acharimos that Aaron will enter the Kodesh Kadashim b'par ben bakar. At that point, the par has already been shechted. You're not bringing the par by its horns. It's dead already. So the fact that the Torah refers to it as a par, even though all you have left of it is blood, is an indication that the dam is still referred to as a par. So the question is, how would the other sheet in the Gemara that says that dam is not called a par, how would they respond to that? V'idach, ba'mehuch shar aron lavo ala kodesh b'far ben bakar l'chatas. The other day on the Gemara would say, no, that pasuk just means that the blood of the par is the way in which Aaron is allowed to enter the Kodesh Kadashim. It doesn't necessarily mean that Dam is called a par. It just means that the par ben bakar was the animal that allowed Aaron to enter the Kodesh Kadashim. Fine. Then the Gemara asks, V'sepuk le dechatas shemesu be'alehi v'chatas shemesu be'aleha lemisa asa. This goes back to a topic on yesterday's daf, where the Gemara is essentially asking the following question. The Gemara yesterday had a whole machlokas, a very technical machlokas, about how to interpret the word par in the pasuk. Does par, in other words, the case the Gemara mentioned yesterday was, what happens if the Kohen Gadol shechted the par, but before he got around to doing the zrika, the Kohen Gadol died? So now the question is, can another Kohen come in and take the blood from the original par and then do the zrika or not? So the Gemara had a very technical machlokas about, you know, do we say that par means par velo bedamo shel par, or par means bidamo shel par? In other words, is it about the animal? Is it about the Kohen Gadol? So it was a very technical, you know, issue in the Gemara yesterday, but now the Gemara is asking, there's a much more basic issue here. If the original Kohen Gadol who shechted the par died prior to Zrikas Adam, then the whole animal should be thrown out the window. The whole thing should be invalid, because that's what we refer to as a chatas shemesu be'aleha. The Gemara in Temura tells us there are five categories of a carbon chatas, five cases of a carbon chatas, where the halacha l'moshe misinai dictates they have to be left to die and can no longer be used as a regular carbon. One of those is a chatas where the original owner died. So the question is, if the Kohen Gadol just died, how on earth can any Kohen Gadol come in and use the blood as a valid par? It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, no. Amr le Ravin baravad le Rava Amri Talmid Chamar of Amram Chatas Tzibur Hivalola Misa Azla. Says the Gemara, this is not a regular carbon chatas. This par is a chatas at Tzibur. It's a chatas that atones on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, and a chatas at Tzibur is not subject to the regular halachos of a chatas hayachid, and therefore, even though the Kohen Gadol died, it could still potentially be used to affect kapara, again, depending on what you thought about the machlokas back on yesterday's daf. How do we know that there should be even, you know, such a distinction between a chatas at Tzibur versus a chatas hayachid? Disna, the Mishnah tells us, Amar lo Reb Meir, v'halo par yom ha-kipurim, v'chavite Kohen Gadol u'pesach, dekar ben yachid hu, v'docha es ha-shabes v'yas ha-tuma, la v'chal di'ikol ha-man de'omar de'tzibur. So before we get to the crux of the point of this Mishnah, which we will in a second, the Gemara is making the following, almost technical observation. Reb Meir is commenting regarding three different types of karbanos. The first one is relevant to our topic, the par that was slaughtered on Yom Kippur. The chavite Kohen Gadol were these wafer karbanos that were offered daily by the Kohen Gadol, and of course, the Karban Pesach. Reb Meir says that all three of those are considered to be a karban yachid, an individual karban, and therefore, they're docha Shabbos, And they're also dochet tumah. Again, as we've spoken about extensively, both of this mesachta and in the end of mesachas pesachim, if the majority of klal yisrael is tumay, so certain types of karbanos can still be offered. So before we analyze that part of the mishnah, the gemara says, you see from here the fact that the mishnah only associates these karbanos as individual karbanos according to Rabbi Meir implies that there may be other tanoim who disagree and would say that these are actually karbanos tzibur, specifically the one that interests us for right now, the par of Yom Kippur. In other words, the fact that Rabbi Meir says that the par Yom HaKippurim is a karban yachid would lead us to believe that there are other tanoim who disagree. And again, we'll get back to that in a second. So now the Gemara pushes back. V'litameich dekatane amar lo Rabbi Yaakov v'halo par helim davar shel tzibur. U'si'ire avonas kochabim v'achagiga dekarban tzibur ve'ein dochen lo asa shabbos v'lo asa tuma mechlal di'iko lemanda amar di'achid. The problem with the logic that we just put forth is that it leads to the following conclusion, which would seem to be impossible, which is that we have a Tosefta in Maseches Temura that quotes Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov in this Tosefta is talking about three other types of karbanos. The first being a par helim davar shel tzibur, which we've also spoken about in the past. That means that you have a scenario where the majority of where the Sanhedrin paskin incorrectly, and the majority of Klal Yisrael followed their incorrect psak and violated some sort of a very serious avera. So the karban they bring is called a par helim davar shel tzibur. The word tzibur is in the name of the carbon. There's no way anyone could ever possibly think that that's a carbon yachid. The other two carbonos that are mentioned in this Tosefta and Temura is the Seiri Avodas Kochavim, which means that if the majority of Klal Yisrael accidentally worshipped Avodah Zarah, and the carbon Chagiga, which we'll get to, you know, hopefully the next couple of days, we're going to talk about the why a carbon Chagiga is on this list. But either way, Rabbi Yaakov says these three carbonos are called the carbon Tzibur, and as a result, they are not Docha Shabbos or Tuma. Now the problem is that the fact that the Tosefta refers to them as a carbon seabor and it associates that with the sheet of Rabbi Yaakov would lead us to believe that there are other Tanaim who disagree. Again, it's the same basic logic as in the previous Mishnah, right? In other words, beforehand, we said, oh, Rabbi Meir says these three carbonos are a carbon yachid, implying that there are different ones, that there are different ones that are carbon, that others disagree and say that they're carbonos seabor. So we seemingly would make the same leap in this Tosefta, based on Rabbi Yaakov's statement. So the Gemara says,
the
Seir Lashem is not on this list. It's not. Again, we're focusing right now on the Karbanos that are in the Mishnah and the Tosefta. Again, the point that we're trying to make right here for the purposes of our Gemara is to figure out the status of the Par of Yom Kippur. Because again, remember, that was what the Gemara said earlier. The Gemara said that, oh, the Par of Yom Kippur, if the Kohen Gadol died, so now it's no longer considered. Now you potentially have a problem because it's a Chatas Shemesu Be'aleh. The Gemara pushed back and said, no, but isn't it a Karban Zibur? And the proof to that is from this whole Mishnah and Tosefta from Temura.
Is for the congregation. It's not a kind of
that may be so. The Gemara is not listing every single carbon that was ever brought. We're asking about the power of Yom Kippur right now. That's the focus of our Gemara. So the question is, if the inference from this Mishnah and Tosefta and Temura is that seems to be that there are those Tanaim who are of the opinion that the power of Yom Kippur is in fact the carbon yachid, and if that's the case, then if the Kohen Gadol were to die, it should be problematic to then offer that carbon to offer the power. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo lesana kamakam ahadrele, deshamay dekaamar carbon seber doche es haShabbos yesatuma, the carbon yachid eno doche lo es haShabbos lo es haTuma, amar lo rameir carbon yachid klalahu, vahalo par yom hakipurim achavite kohen gadol pesach de carbon yachidu, vidoche es haShabbos yesatuma, vahamar lo Rabbi Yaakov carbon seber klalahu, vahalo par helim davar shel tzibur siri avodas kochavim vachagiga, de carbon seber hu vein doche lo es haShabbos lo es haTuma, elo nekod haiklala biyadcha, kol shezmanu kavua doche es haShabbos yesatuma, afilu biyachid, the Gemara basically says that we've read too much into this Mishnah and Tosefta and Temura. The Gemara says that this Mishnah and Tosefta was actually responding to a mistaken premise that we all have. We all assume that there's a very basic rule when it comes to which karbanos can be brought on Shabbos or in a state of Tumah and which cannot. We always assume that the distinction is whether it's a karban yachid versus a karban tzibur. And namely, a karban tzibur can be brought on Shabbos and can be brought in a state of Tumah, whereas a carbon yachid cannot. The Gemara says that's not true. The Gemara says the real line of demarc. What was that?
Which
Korban
Yachid has this man
Tavua? So hang on 1 second. We're going to get to that in a second. So the Gemara says the real distinction here, the real line of demarcation, is whether a carbon is what we call Zmano Kavua. In other words, if it has a fixed time, if it has a set time. So for example, to answer Yaakov's question, potentially the Korban Pesach might be an example of that. Now, again, whether a Korban Pesach is really a Korban Yachid, we're going to talk about that as we go on in the Gemara, but the Pashtus is that a Korban Pesach is a Korban Yachid, but it has to be brought in Yodal and Nisan. So even if you think it's a Korban Yachid, it's still going to be Docha Shabbos and Tumah. So the Gemara says that all this Mishnah and Tosefta was coming to do was to dispel this mistaken premise that don't think that the criteria for what's Docha Shabbos and Tumah is Yachid versus Tzibor, but rather it's Zmano Kavua, whether it has a set time, versus Karbanos that do not have a set time. Fine. So now the Gemara questions. Esi ve'abaye parvis to'ir shalom ha-kippurim sha'avdu. V'hifrish acherim tachtein kulam yamusu. V'chein si'i re'avodos kochavim sha'avdu. V'hifrish acherim tachtein kulam yamusu. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, v'Rabbi Shimon omrim yiru ha'che yistavu v'yimachru v'yimachru. The Gemara quotes a machlokas with the following two cases. If I have the par or the sa'ir of Yom Kippur that were set aside as such, but they got lost. So once they got lost, I had to set aside a new animal for that karban. So and then I found the original one. So there's a machlokas what to do with that second animal, the one that you set aside as the replacement. Once you find the original one, the same machlokas comes up by the sa'ir avodah zarah. In other words, again, the karban that you set aside, if the majority of Klal Yisrael erroneously worships Avodah Zarah. So if, again, I designate an animal X to be the carbon in any of these cases, the animal gets lost, I set aside animal Y, and then I find animal X. The question is, what do I now do with animal Y? So it's a machlokas in the Gemara. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to let animal Y just basically let it die. According to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, however, you let it graze until it develops a mum, and once it develops a mum, you sell it off. In other words, you use its proceeds to purchase voluntary carbonos. Why? Because achatas hatzibur is not left to die. Again, in contrast to what we spoke about in the beginning of this daf, where certain cases of a carbon chatas, let's say if the owner died, you have to leave it to die. That's only true when it comes to a chatas hayachid, not a chatas hatzibur. So the problem is that this brisa is lumping together the power of Yom Kippur and it's calling it a chatas hatzibur. It says explicitly, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, at least, who say you have to leave the animal to graze. The implication clearly is that the power of Yom Kippur is called the Chatas HaTzibur, which seems to be against what we said in the Gemara earlier. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Lei my par, par halim davar shel tzibur. When the Gemara mentioned pars, it was kind of a strange phraseology. It said, par v'so'ir shel Yom HaKippurim. So the Gemara said that first par is not the par of Yom Kippur, it's the par halim davar shel tzibur. It's the par that you bring when the Sanhedrin paskin incorrectly. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Gemara says, the Gemara says, "V'hashal Yom Kippurim Katani." Didn't the Brisa say it's the power of Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, "No, Ki Katani Adis Sa'ir." That phrase "Shal Yom Kippurim" was only referring to the Sa'ir, but the power was actually referring to the power Halim Davar Shal Tzibur. So the Gemara asks again, "V'hasanya Par Shal Yom Kippurim Musir Shal Yom Kippurim Sha'avdu Ve'Hepar Shachem Tachtein Kulam Yamusu Devar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omrim Yiruat Sheyistavu V'Yimachru V'Yiplu Demanglim Davar Shein Chatas Tzibur Mesa." In this Brisa, the Brisa explicitly mentions the power of Yom Kippur and calls it a Chatas HaTzibur according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So there's no way to say that that's a reference to the Par Halim Davar Shel Tzibur. So the Gemara says, you're right. Lo tema she'in chatas tzibur mesa, ela ima she'in chatas hashutfin mesa. Now the Gemara changes its tune a little bit. The Gemara says, we thought that we were talking about a chatas hatzibur, and that's why it was impervious from the regular halachos of letting the chatas die. The Gemara says, no. This type of chatas, the power of Yom Kippur, is not a chatas hatzibur, but rather it's a chatas hashutfin. It's a chatas that is owned in partnership by all of the Kohanim. What exactly is the difference between that and the tzibur? My nafkamina, delo maisu kohanim par behora'a. The Gemara says, imagine the following scenario. Again, we've been speaking a lot about the concept of a par helim davar shel tzibur. When the Sanhedrin paskin incorrectly, let's say, for example, let's say one of the shvatim came, the entire sheva comes to the Sanhedrin, and, I don't know, sheva dun comes to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin incorrectly paskin that, I don't know, that chelev was mutter. And all of sheva dun ate chelev, so the halacha is that you bring the par helim davar shel tzibur to atone for the mistake of the Sanhedrin. However, let's say you have a Bezdin, a Sanhedrin that was comprised entirely of Kohanim, and they paskin incorrectly for the Kohanim. So as Rashi explains, the Kohanim are not considered a Kahal, because only people who have a share in the Nachala, in the land of Eretz Yisrael, are considered a Kahal. So if the same exact scenario that would have happened to any other Shevet happens to the Kohanim, that par that you bring is not technically called a par Halim Davar Shel Tzibur, but rather it's called a par Hashutfin. It's owned in joint partnership by the Kohanim. Similarly, when it comes to the pyre of Yom Kippur, that's bringing atonement for the Kohanim, so that is not technically a pyre of Shel Tzibur, but rather it's a pyre of the Shutfen, of the joint ownership of the Kohanim. Okay. Yomar says, Tashma, Devoy Rabbi Elazar, V'divrei ha'omer par Yom HaKippur Karben Yachid, Oset Tumura O Eino Oset Tumura, Lav Michlal Di'ika Laman Da'amar Tzibur, So before we analyze this point, which we will in a second, the Gemara raises a question. What, in other words, if you assume that the pyre of Yom Kippur is truly a Karban Yachid, would such a pyre be subject to the Isser of Temura? Again, Temura, we know, is the fact that you're not allowed to swap out that animal with another one. So again, before we analyze that question, which the Gemara is going to do in the next line, the Gemara says, you see from here, the very fact that we're referring to it as the pyre of Yom Kippur, but only according to one opinion, implies that there are others who disagree and think that maybe the pyre is really a carbon seabor, to which the Gemara says, no, it's not true. It's like we just said a second ago, those who disagree that it's not a carbon yachid are going to say that the pyre is a carbon hashutfin, its own in partnership, as opposed to a carbon hatsib. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to the question that we just asked. Gufa, boy, Rabbi Elazar, ledivrei ha'omer par yom kippurim carbon yachid, oset tumura, o eno oset tumura, So the question is, what exactly is the root of the Gemara's question regarding whether the power of Yom Kippur, if you believe it's a Karban Yachid, whether it's subject to the Isser of Temura? The Gemara says, presumably the issue at hand here is, what's the nature of the Isser of Temura in the first place? In other words, who is the one who violates the Isser of Temura? Who's the one who causes that Isser to go into effect in the first place? Does it go based on the Makdish or the Miskaper? For example, let's say I designated a carbon for Reuven in order to affect Kapara for Reuven. So now the question becomes, if I decide to swap out that animal, I'm not the one getting Kapara. Reuven is the one who needs Kapara. So the question is, who's the one who can affect Temura? Is it me or is it Reuven? That's the Gemara Shaila. So the Gemara says, Pshita de Basar Miskapara. It's obvious that Temura follows the Miskapara, the guy who needs Kapara. How do we know that? To Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hamakdish Mosev Chomesh, Veha Miskapara Osa Batemura, Veha Torah Mishaloh Asha Chavero Togos Hanashaloh. Gemara quotes three unrelated halachos, only the second of which is relevant for our Gemara. The first halacha is that if I'm makdish an item to the Beis HaMikdash and I want to redeem it, so you only have to pay an additional fifth to redeem the item if it's your own item that you're redeeming. If you're redeeming an item on behalf of somebody else, you don't have to pay the additional fifth. The second halacha, which is directly related to our Gemara, is that the miskaper, the guy for whom kapara is being affected, is the one who can violate temura. And the third halacha, which again is not really relevant to our Gemara, is that if, let's say, for example, I want to separate, you know, Truma and Meiser from my produce, but I also want to exempt Reuven's produce from Truma and Meiser from, you know, in other words, I want to take his, I want to remove the status of his Tevel, I can do that. The only thing is that I now have the right to decide which Kohanim or which Leviim are entitled to the Truma and the Meiser. That's what we refer to as Tovas Hana. Now, even though it's his produce, but because I'm the one who's doing the Hafrasha on his behalf, I'm allowed to decide which Kohanim get. Again, that halacha is not really relevant to our Gemara. The point here is that you see clearly that the Miskaper, the one who's getting the kapara, is the one who can violate the Yisr of Temura. The Gemara says, no, that's not true. La'olam shitalei debasar miskaperas. The Gemara says, you're right. Really, it's obvious that the one getting the kapara is the one who can violate the Yisr of Temura. V'hachi kami ba'al. This was the Gemara Shaila. Echav ha-kohanim b'kvi'usa miskaperi, o dilma b'kufya miskaperi. The question is, when the Kohen Gadol is offering his power on Yom Kippur, and all the other kohanim are receiving kapara because of that karban, is that kapara fundamental? Meaning to say, are the other Kohanim really considered like partners in that carbon? They're on equal footing with the Kohen Gadol? Or no, that carbon is really, that really just belongs to the Kohen Gadol. The other Kohanim kind of get dragged along. And they're almost, you know, the Kapara is affected almost incidentally. That's the Gemara Shaila. So the Gemara explains, Tashma, Chomer bezevach mi betemura v'chomer betemura mi bezevach. Chomer bezevach, shehazevach noeg biyachid kivetzibor v'docha es ha-shabes yesatuma v'oset temura mashe inkin betemura. So on the one hand, we have certain stringencies that a regular carbon has over a temura carbon, the carbon that you swapped out for the original. So the original carbon, the kedusha of carbon applies both to a carbon yachid and to a carbon seabor. In certain cases, those carbonos can be docha, shabbos, and tuma, as we've already explained, and you can violate the issue of temura on the original carbon, but all of those halachos do not apply to temura. In other words, temura does not apply to a carbon seabor, temura is not docha, shabbos, or tuma, and you can't do temura from an animal which is already temura, because the pasuk says, v'hayahu shmuraso, the Gemara Tmura derives, velo tmura l'shmuraso. You can't do tmura two times over, basically. So in that sense, you have certain chumras that apply to a regular karban. On the other hand, the Gemara says, chumra b'tmura mi b'zevach, sheha tmura chala al ba'amum kavua, ve'ena yotza l'chulin ligazes v'layaved, ma she'en kin b'zevach. On the other hand, you have certain stringencies that apply only to tmura, namely, the isser of tmura can take effect on an animal which has a permanent mum. Normally, a regular animal that has a permanent mum cannot be designated as a regular karban, but the isser of tmura can go into effect on an animal with the regular mum. And the other halacha is that such an animal can never be redeemed for the purposes of giza va'avoda. In other words, for example, if I have a regular animal that I set aside as a karban, and for whatever reason I decide I want to redeem it, once I redeem it, I can now use it, I can shear it, I can work the animal. But when it comes to a tmura animal, that is not the case. Once an animal has been designated as tmura, you can never redeem it for the purposes of giza va'avoda. So you see that in this sense, there are certain chumras that tmura has over a regular karban. So the Gemara now wants to clarify. What's the case of the regular karban here? If we're talking about a karban yachid, as we've already explained, a karban yachid in most cases is not docha shabbos and tumah. If it's a karban sibur, as we already pointed out, the isser of tumura is not going to go into effect on a karban sibur. El lav de par vidocha es shabbos yes tumah the kaviyah leizman va'osa tumura the karban yachidu. So presumably the only karban that makes any sense to be in this category is the par of Yom Kippur. So on the one hand, the power of Yom Kippur is Docha Shabbos and Tumah because it has to be brought on Yom Kippur. It's Kavua Leizman, as we spoke about earlier. On the other hand, perhaps you can argue, as we pointed out, that it's a Karban Yachid, and therefore it's subject to Tumura. And that would seem to answer our original question that the Kohanim who are getting Kapara from the power of Yom Kippur are only doing so incidentally. Fundamentally, it really belongs to the Kohen Gadol. It's really a Karban Yachid. So the Gemara says this would seem to answer our question. Gemara says no. Amar Rav Sheshes lo, be'elo shel Aaron. The Gemara says that the context of this halacha, the question about whether the Kohanim get kapara, incidentally or fundamentally from that karban, was never referring to the par, because the par of Yom Kippur is a karban chatas, and as we pointed out already, in cases of a chatas owned by an individual, so if the original owner dies or something happens to it, so you have to let the animal die. However, the isle, the ram, the aron that the Kohen Gadol brought in Yom Kippur was actually a karban ola. So a karban ola is not subject to any of these halachas that we just mentioned by a chatas. And in fact, the Gemara says haki nami mistabra the istal gadaitach de paro tamura de par Shabbos. And in fact, the Gemara says that it's not logical to suggest otherwise. You have to say that the Gemara's question was referring to the ram that Aaron offered on Yom Kippur and not the par, because as we pointed out before, that the par is a chatas, and the inference that we would have otherwise made from the Gemara is that a tumura of the par is only not doche Shabbos and tuma, implying that you are allowed to offer it during the week, but that's probably problematic, because as we just pointed out, that a tumuras chatas, that if I do tumura on a carbon chatas, that animal has to be left to die. It's one of the five examples of a chatas that has to be left to die. So by definition, you have to say that the Gemara's question was only talking about the ram of Aaron, which is an ola, and not a chatas, because otherwise you run into this problem of having to allow the animal to die. The Gemara says, not true. Look, olam paro, really the Gemara was talking about Aaron's par. My tumura, shame tumura. And what did the Gemara mean when it was talking about the issur of tumura? It wasn't referring to the specific issur of tumura on the power of Yom Kippur, because you're right, that power would have to be left to die. But rather, it's referring to the general issur of tumura as a whole, meaning to say, there are certain stringencies that a regular karban has over tumura, and vice versa. So the Gemara says, okay, ihachi zevach nami, shame, I'm sorry, the Gemara says, ihachi zevach nami, shame zevach. Okay, so by that logic, why don't we say that the Gemara was not referring to a specific karban, maybe it was just trying to talk about karbanos in general, meaning to say, why is the Gemara spending so much time figuring out, was this the power of Yom Kippur? Is this the Isle of Yom Kippur? Who cares? If in other words, if everything here is just a general contrast between Karbanos in general and Tamura in general, why is the Gemara so focused on figuring out which specific Karban are we referring to? So the Gemara says, no, Shame Zevach Lo Katane. The Gemara never said that we're talking about Karbanos in general, and in fact, if anything, the opposite is clear, that the Gemara is searching for a specific Karban. The Gemara says, "Be mine." What's the basis for that? The Gemara told us, as we said earlier, that Tamura is effective on a Balmum Kavua, on an animal with a Mum. And an animal which is Tamura can never be redeemed for the purposes of shearing or doing Avoda. And if you're going to tell me that the Gemara was actually just talking about Karbanos in general when it was making the contrast between Karbanos and Temura. The Gemara says it cannot be that we're making a generalized statement about Karbanos, because there are certain Karbanos that actually do break the rule that we spoke about earlier, namely a Karban Bechor and a Karban of Meiser Behema. That Kedusha does take effect on an animal with a permanent mun, and those animals can be redeemed for the purposes, I'm sorry, those animals cannot be redeemed for the purposes of Giza Va'avoda. So it's not the case that every single Karban in the world is an exact contrast to Temura. Certain Karbanos do break that mold, and therefore the Gemara needed to specifically search for a Karban that fit the mold that was the exact opposite of the halachos of Temura. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela Shem Zevach Lo Katani, must be that the Gemara was never referring to Karbanos in general, but rather was searching for a specific Karban. So now the question is, Umayshna Temura, Shem Temura Achasi, so why then, when it comes to Temura, was the Gemara so convinced that we could just look for the general rules of Temura? Because all the dinim of Temura, says the Gemara, are all the same across the board. Whereas Karbanos, as we just pointed out, differ. For example, the Karban Bechor and Ma'aser Behema have halachos that differ from all other Karbanos. By Temura, all the halachos are the same across the board. So the Gemara says, Zevach, Ika Bechor, V'Ika Ma'aser. Again, as we pointed out, when it comes to regular Karbanos, you have these distinctions when it comes to a Karban Bechor and a Karban Ma'aser Behema. Then finally, the Gemara says, Ula Rav Sheshes, Ademokim La Be'elo Shal Aron, Lokma Befesach Dedoches HaShabbos V'Yasatuma, V'Osa Temura De Karban Yachidu. So now, according to Rav Sheshes, instead of the Gemara saying that the case is referring to the ram of Aaron, why don't we instead say that it's talking about the Karban Pesach? Why? The Karban Pesach is Kavua Leizman, as we know. It has to be run Yudal and Nisan. So it's Docha Shabbos and Tuma. On the other hand, it's a Karban Yachid, so it should be subject to the Isser of Timur. That would be a perfect example. The Gemara says no. Kasavar in Shochter HaPesach Ala Yachid. This Rav Huda happens to hold, based on the Gemara, in the end of Pesachim, like Rav Yehuda, that a Karban Pesach cannot be shechted for an individual. It can only be shechted for a Chabura. So in a sense, Rav Huda holds that a Karban Pesach is actually more like a Karban Sibur. If it's like a Karban Sibur, then it's obviously not subject to the Isser of Temura. And then finally, the Gemara says, V'nogum in Pesach Sheni, Midachi Tuma. Then the Gemara says, what about Pesach Sheni? The Gemara says, no, Pesach Sheni is not Dochet Tuma. Now, this is going to lead us into discussion tomorrow regarding whether Pesach Sheni can or cannot be offered in a state of Tuma.